Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And today, we ask you, Lord, to be with us and to give us your guidance and to build us up in you and to warn us of the things to come and to be ready. And thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. We're going to call this Strong Delusions Lead to Destruction. And the first revelation here was given to Michelle Rogers on 4/3/21. The Beast's Image and Persecution. And she said, I had a dream in which I saw the number 6755. When I awoke and asked the Lord if the number was for Greek or Hebrew, I immediately felt it was a Strong's Concordance number for a word in Hebrew. I looked up the number in the concordance and discovered it was for the word image, which is tselem in Hebrew. The word is found exclusively in the book of Daniel concerning the image that King Nebuchadnezzar set up. In other words, the image of the beast. The number 6755, or 6 plus 7 plus 5 plus 5 equals 23. And the number 23 represents death, which the image of the beast will bring upon the world, both physical death and eternal death. And damnation. And Michelle went on to say, Daniel 3:3 leapt off the page at me. And it says, then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the ruler of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Okay. Well, she went on to say, earlier the Lord had shown me that the stories at the start of the book of Daniel were all about end times, just like the rest of the book, and that we can learn a great deal about what is coming and how to respond by studying these stories prayerfully. I agree. And we know the image of the beast is formed in the tribulation most completely. Not that it's not there now, but it's going to be formed completely in the tribulation, and that it speaks of all beast kingdoms. Yet now we see Babylon changing hands. Babylon, as we have known it, is being destroyed, and Cyrus is the new king. However, he's presiding over the same dirt. So we've been looking at the snapshot view of this parable. One beast concerning the previous beast, conquering the previous beast. And now we're looking at the panoramic view in which the dirt stays in place as new ownership appears. This is world Babylon that we're looking at here now, not just U.S. Babylon. And it's got new ownership, but it's still there. Okay. I believe the Lord was warning, she said, that the leaders of the globe were going to be coming together to implement and to solidify the beast system. Well, it's going to be a one-world system, no matter what they say about the globalists being passed. We still got globalists, okay? It's still a one-world system, and it's more tightly knit today than ever. At that time, it seemed related to the upcoming vaccine mandates, which would lead to persecution, as it did in the book of Daniel, Revelation 17:13-14. These have one mind, and they give their power and authority unto the beast. These shall war against the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they also that overcome, that are with him, called, chosen, and faithful. Amen. So these mandates and restrictions are probably not over. I'm thinking they're going to use them to have a lockdown, just to guess, okay. The deep state has eased up for a while because the vaccines were being exposed, but they are planning on another round of lockdowns and mask mandates. And this next time, they seek to implement electronic vaccine passports and or social crediting scoring systems that will be required to buy and sell. Okay, and I believe the Alliance wants this threat from the deep state. Notice what I'm saying here now. I believe the Alliance wants this threat, not the fulfillment, from the deep state to turn the people against them. Okay, we'll see how it works out. And Michelle said, I felt in my spirit that as Christians go into the fire, God would be glorified as leaders, and even those persecuting us at times will see the Lord in the midst of his people, just as King Nebuchadnezzar saw Jesus in the midst of the fire with the three Hebrews. Well, it was one like unto the Son of God, but you know, we can't exactly say for sure it was Jesus, but that's our guess, right? And Saul and the rest of the crowd saw Stephen's face as an angel when he was stoned. Well, that's true. Daniel 3:27-29 says, and the satraps, the deputies, and the governors, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, that the fire had no power upon their bodies, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither were their hosen changed, nor had the smell of fire passed on them. Well, Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and have yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. And Michelle went on to say, God uses the love and faith that shines in the midst of hatred and persecution to draw people to himself, as Jesus' sacrificial death and love draws us to him. In 1 Peter 2:21-23, we read, for hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And I believe the man-child ministry is in that phase right now. So this next revelation was given to Samuel Fire early in 2019. And we called it Distractions and Mass Delusions Lead to Hell. Well, this is the first vision I had from the Lord, Samuel said. I used to come home after work and watch Christian teachings and songs on YouTube, basically anything that I could to learn and to grow more in Christ. One afternoon after coming home from work, I sat and watched YouTube for a while, and I was thinking on Christ and wondered about the huge change in my life, reflecting on the diametrically opposing life that I used to live, and now. I thought, wow, I would never have believed nor thought this to be true if I was told this last year at this time. Amen. People told us that we'd be where we are today. Well, we wouldn't have believed it, would we? I sat watching and not really thinking about what I was looking at, and then everything changed. I was taken into an open vision, and I didn't see the YouTube playing anymore. I wasn't in the room, and everything was all different. I saw things from my perspective, but I was in a completely different place. I was outside a theme park. It had tall walls and all sorts of enticing pictures and happy faces, and the main gate had a giant smiling down at the top. Well, I remember Garrett's revelation of the devil being a clown. Okay. The theme park, he said, was so large that it went on as if as far as I could see on the left and the right of my view. Well, I think it probably represents the world, okay, all of the world, right? A very long line of people waited to go in, and I could hear the sounds of rides and carnival music and laughter. Well, I believe that this theme park represents the entertainment and distractions of the world to keep us from the things of life, of eternal life. However, I knew something was not right, and I believe this is representing the discernment of the Holy Spirit here. I was very distraught, and I yelled at the people waiting in the line, "Don't go in there!" I would approach each and every person I could and grab them and look them in the eye and try to convince them not to go in. Many just ignored me or cussed and swore at me. Some threw a beverage or something at me, and I just was running back and forth along the line, yelling, crying out, and screaming for them not to go in. Not one person listened. Well, we always try to warn people of their impending destruction, but many don't have ears to hear and will persecute us for trying to tell them the truth. And these are those who were not elect from the foundation of the world. Samuel went on to say, "The vision then changed perspective, and I was in the Spirit. I could see the side angle of the theme park. Just as a person would enter the gate to go in, there was a cliff, and they fell off down into hell, and I was in horror. The whole thing was a trick. Yes, all the distractions of the world, the strongest delusions that the devil perpetuates, is that evil doesn't exist and the devil and hell aren't real." And people believe that. "Once I came out of the vision, I then saw the YouTube playing, and I thought I had been teleported to another place and had lost time, and I was quite disoriented. The urge to tell others of their impending doom still tugs on my heart. Yet only the Lord can draw his sheep through those willing to speak and lead them. I encourage everyone to seek him and be humble, to jump out there and out there on that line and warn them of the amusement park, of the distractions, anything to keep you away from eternal things, eternal words, eternal life," right? Okay, and this next one was given to Claire Pinar, 7/15/22, and we called it "Pageantry Gives Way to the Fiery Furnace." "I dreamed that we were on an airplane, and one stewardess, who was pregnant and having strong contractions, kept on going and serving with such a sense of calm and with a smile. She tried to dress so that her belly would not be visible." Well, Rion said, "The woman serving others in the heavenlies that is about to give birth represents the corporate body of the bride. I agree. And I would say that the bride is an overcomer and continues on in service to the kingdom and the people of God, despite the trials of death to self, which are the birth pains that birth the man-child Jesus' nature in her. And those who have this nature will have the physical man-child in their midst. You understand? I'm talking about two manifestations of man-child being born. One in you by the nature of Jesus, and one coming in the world as a reformer ministry. Micah 4:10 says, "Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail, for now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and shalt dwell in the field, and shalt come even unto Babylon. There shalt thou be rescued. There will the Lord redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies." We're there. Here we are. All right. I just wanted to help her. I was really moved by her ability to have such control. Reminds us of Galatians 5:22-23. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. Now this fruit of the Spirit which is in the bride is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But also in the midst of the bride there is a corporate body being birthed we call the man-child ministry." Okay? And of course this bride is in the larger church. Therefore the woman in Revelation 12, brings forth the man-child. Okay? So, I prayed for her in tongues, and I saw a vision of her giving birth in the dream. I was waiting for her to have the baby. Well, Revelation 12. I'll just read 1 and 5 through 6. "And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, travailing in birth, and in pain to be delivered." And verse 5, "And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with the rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. Yes, the woman will be nourished by the man-child in the wilderness, just as Jesus did a couple thousand years ago, right? "Then the scene changed, and my family and I were at a place where all the black people in the area were coming to the knowledge of the truth." Well, this is spiritual. Spiritually, this represents those who walked in darkness were beginning to see the light. Amen? Praise the Lord. It takes tough times for this to happen. "They had left their old lives and were trying to live righteously, but they were still caught up in what I can only call pageantry." Yeah, well, a lot of, you know, of the old dead churches are full of this, you know. Pageantry is the use of special clothing, traditions, and ceremonies as part of a special event or celebration. A lot of people don't realize that all of the ceremonies in the Bible were spiritual and revelations that were spiritual. This represents the people trapped in apostate Christianity who have a conscience towards God but are still caught up in and rely on the traditions of men for their salvation. And they were busy making big stages for shows, and they were going to put their children in some play. Well, this represents the outward moralization of religion that puts on a show of ceremony, but there is no power to truly change or repent. She said they were moving a big throng, in a big throng, making these stages as they moved along. And Rion said, at the time of the man-child's birth, many will come out from the darkness that they were in, but will still need deliverance from the showmanship of apostasy. True. In this throng, Claire said, of the people, I saw one man who was part of the group. I believe this represents the corporate body of the Son of Perdition. He slipped alcohol to an old man, and this man became taken over by demons. Well, that's what the Son of Perdition does, right? They're the Judases. They're the ones that are against the body of Christ. So this spirit makes the old man of the flesh drunk with his faction, evil ambition, and lies. That's what they do. They spread it. The drunken old man was now walking behind me with a knife. So he was normal, and then he got spewed upon by this Son of Perdition, and now he has turned against the bride, right? Rion said the Son of Perdition feeds the flesh of the weak ones in the body, causing many to stumble or fall away. Yes, and they in turn stab you in the back with lies and slander. As we will see, some of these go on to be sons of perdition, which is ultimate destruction, you know, but a few will be saved. Amen. The other women around me were so scared. I turned to him and touched his chest gently, and I said, I command the evil spirit of alcoholism off of you in Jesus' name. I command a spirit of peace and repentance over you. Well, we're commanded to set the captives free with the authority of Jesus. And as we said, some will be saved out of the faction and be granted repentance. Alcoholism represents being spiritually out of touch with reality. Which they are. They have no conscience of what they had before these demons came over them. They don't know what they are doing, as Jesus also said about the faction in his day. He flew across the floor and lay on his back, crying and praising Jesus. Okay, got touched by the Lord. I kept on praying for him. Rion, meaning little king, representing the man-child, came to him and started lifting his head and smiling at him. And Rion said, when Jesus appears in the man-child reformers, lawlessness and old fleshly ways are slain with just a word of his authority. Then it seemed there was a takeover or transition from the showman and pageantry to the enslaving of the people. Well, I believe this represents when the beast turns on the harlot that rides him and devours her. Revelation 17 and 16 says, and the 10 horns which thou sawest, and the beast, these shall hate the harlot, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and shall burn her utterly with fire. Well, believe it or not, this is going to cause my people come out of her, the Lord said. Yes, that you don't be a partaker in all of her sins and her curses, right? Amen. The theaters or stages that the black people had been building in the previous scene were now torn down and the pageantry stopped. So their delusion about these old dead religions and all their symbolism and all of their pageantry, they were delivered from it. They knew they needed to go back to the Bible. And I believe this represents the persecution of the apostates by the beast, resulting in them turning their backs on their idolatry with the world and start of a great revival among them. Amen. Yes, it's coming. It's coming. No, don't think it's over. A lot of the alliance would have you think it's over. No, no, we're just starting. Claire went on to say, now everyone was carrying wood to furnaces located in what looked like an old mine shaft. They were emaciated and tired. I could see flames coming from below the ground, and there was real fear there. I said to Rion, why are they still working like slaves? The enemy has no dominion over us. Well, this is true. The enemy has no dominion over the bride because she is sanctified, but the enemy does have authority to enslave those who are still serving the beast in their flesh. They have to get a revelation of the crucified life, right? So Romans 6 and 16 says, know ye not that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Amen. And Claire said, there were serpents who were guarding this place where the pageants used to be in the mineshaft. They were big and walked on their hind legs like a dragon slash serpent with frills coming out of their necks. Well, the world is enslaved by the dragon beast and his minions, his members. By the way, the faction is a member of the dragon beast. They want to devour the man-child and the bride. Okay? I felt like liberation was coming in the dream, like there was a tipping point coming, because the serpents that were keeping everyone in this hole kept on looking towards the heavens, like, uh-oh, what's coming? And towards the opening of the shaft, and they were growing weaker. The light coming in. They could not stop the light from breaking through the top of the hole. When I woke up, I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random and received Isaiah 48 and 9. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Amen. A lot of people are receive the fear of the Lord, and that's the first thing that they think. Well, woe is me, you know. So this makes sense. Jesus is coming to liberate the captives, but only for his glory. Amen. Okay, and here's one given to Amber Arnie, 4:14-21. And we called it the Dragon Show, a great deception. I dreamed that I was headed into the enemy's camp to gather information or to stop some plan or something similar. Well, the Lord warns us through dreams and visions about what is to come and what we need to pray for and do spiritual warfare against. Amos 3, 6 and 7 says, shall the trumpet be blown in a city, and the people not be afraid? Shall evil befall a city, and the Lord hath not done it? God is sovereign. Surely the Lord will do nothing except he reveal his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Yes, and of course, dreams, visions, revelations, prophecies, all of these ways in which we receive these revelations from the Lord give us warning, help us to cooperate with him in this process, and so on. And Amber said their camp was in a bowl at the bottom of a dark mountain. I believe the dark mountain represents the current ruling beast kingdom of our day. Jeremiah 13:16 says, "Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, and he turn it into the shadow of death, make it gross darkness." So what is he saying? Repent while you still can. Amen. And Amber said, "There was a great show going on, and a huge group of people were gathered to watch the performance. It was a live show, like a Broadway musical. It was colorful and bright and gay, with dragons flying in the air, like a Disney production. It seemed so magical, like a cartoon, only it was really happening. There are multitudes of people who are still under great deception by the mainstream media and all their witchcraft, lies, and propaganda. Only God's elect will awaken to the deceptions of the dragon and beast in these last days." True, true. 2 Peter 2:17-20 says this, "These are springs without water, mists driven by a storm, for whom the blackness of darkness hath been reserved. For uttering great swelling words of vanity, they entice in the lusts of the flesh by lasciviousness those who are just escaping from them that live in error, promising them liberty while they themselves are bondservants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he also brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state is become worse with them than the first." This is so true of the faction. It is exactly true of the faction. Their last state is far worse. They have fallen far from God. All youthful lusts are revived in them, and they justify it. Well, Amber went on to say, "Something seemed very special about the air around the outside stage. It seemed as if the light was reflecting off of fairy dust suspended in the air, so that everything sparkled magically." And I think this might be representing the attractions of the lusts of the flesh. She said everything else surrounding the stage was dark and the sun was almost gone. Well, we're living in a very dark time, and there are many people who are being affected by this fairy dust that dumbs down the population and fogs up their minds, taking away any desire through the FunVax or fundamental vaccine to fervently seek after God. It's true. It is happening. And yes, the chemtrails do have a function in all of this. Ephesians 4:17-19 says, "This I say, therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that you no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk, in the vanity of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them." So study the word and don't be ignorant, and you won't be trapped in this, right? "Because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling gave themselves up to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." That's them, absolutely. Amber said, "I didn't get a good look at the show because I was intent on making my way down one of the aisles towards the dark mountain that filled my view." Well, God's elect, who have sanctified themselves from the world, are keeping their eyes on the straight and narrow road represented by the aisle. And our mission is to destroy the works of the enemy and of darkness through faith and intercession. Amber said, I went into the mountain and into a shop to get something fixed, like maybe a watch. Maybe this is indicating timing, she says. Well, this could mean that we need to get our timing fixed, representing that we are hearing and seeing disinformation about the timing for certain events to occur. Yeah. Or maybe it is that God is going to supernaturally fix the times that we're in, living through the man-child anointing and the Great Awakening Revival. Amen. There were two workers in this dark cave-like workshop. There was a dim, dusty light filtering through a small, high window. The small ray of light also seemed to have this same fairy dust in it, but it didn't seem so magical in the dark room. The shadows were a dark blue color. And she gives Matthew 6 and 23, But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness. Amen. She said, I waited while one of the workers tried to fix the watch or item I had brought in. The worker seemed intelligent, but something wasn't quite right about them. Well, there are many people in the alternative media realm that are doing much slander and even putting out false things for timings, people and events. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15 says, For such men are false apostles. That means one sent forth, right? Such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. That is those sent by Christ, right? And no marvel, for even Satan fashioneth himself into an angel of light. It is no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness. Yes, this is true. Whose end shall be according to their works. Amen. I knew the owner was away, so I decided to investigate the house. The rest of the house was light and clean and modern. Well, this could be representing the houses or lives of the GCR false prophets who seem to have really clean lives, but they have a deep, dark, hidden, false New Age spirituality that is fashioned into Christianity. Mm-hmm. But it's not. So this house or shop must have been in a mall because I happened to spy the owner through the glass, the storefront window. The owner was surrounded by oblivious shoppers as he made his way to the glass door. So the mountain represents the beast system of buying and selling that is a large part of his kingdom. And, of course, in the church, it's just full of buying and selling. You know, they don't give and receive like Jesus commanded, right? So it is the means by which the beast will eventually bring everyone into subjection to it. Revelation 13, 11 through 17. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like unto a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his sight. And he maketh the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose death stroke was healed. I want to tell you, there are a lot of religious people who are going to recommend this beast. In fact, they don't recognize the beast now. Yeah. And he doeth great signs that he should even make fire to come down out of heaven upon the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by reason of the signs which it was given unto him to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, who hath the stroke of the sword and lived. And it was given unto him to give breath to it, even to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as should not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, the small, the great, the rich, and the poor, and the free, and the bond, that there be given them a mark on their right hand or upon their forehead, and that no man should be able to buy or to sell, save he that hath the mark, even the name of the beast or the number of his name. At first I was worried that he would be angry with me for wandering around his house, but the owner seemed like a nice professional guy. He spoke in a friendly manner, saying that the show was great now, but it would be amazing after he finished adding his touches. I knew that the show was happening now, but he would add something like GCI effects on top of the live images, and then it would be released so that the general public would enjoy the show. And then I woke up. Well, I remember having a vision of a CGI dragon trying to come in the house to devour the people years ago. And this is true. So this represents the deceptions increasing to the point of most people not being able to discern falsehood from reality any longer. In other words, deep fake videos where CGI is added along with a different voice to implicate someone falsely. That was a big thing a few years ago, a revelation that they're doing this. Okay. And Matthew 24:15-25 says this, "When therefore you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let him that readeth understand." Well, we know that those with the mark of the beast are going to go back to their churches. No, this is not that letter thing that people have made up in the Middle East. This is here and around us, and it's going to be all over the world. "And let them that are in Judea flee unto the mountains." That's the high places of God, right? "And let him that is on the housetop not go down to take out things that are in his house. And let him that is in the field not return back to take his cloak. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days." Should have come into this prior to this time. In fact, in these days, right? "And pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on a Sabbath, for then shall be great tribulation." There's what winter and Sabbath, offending the Sabbath is, right? "Such as hath not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days had been shortened, no flesh would have been saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." So just for the elect's sake, the days will be shortened, right? He says, come out from among them. "Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is the Christ, or here, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you beforehand." So this will be very effective to separate the wheat from the tares, because as you know, the tares will take the bait, right? And they have. They are taking the bait. And this is given to Lana Galchenko, 10/29/22, and we called it "Coming into the Image of the Enemy, a Falling Away." And Lana said, "I had a dream that we were visiting my mother's house. It was white inside and out." Well, the church that we are born from is our mother. And while there, she said, "my siblings were watching viral videos and showed some to me. One of the videos was about two very ugly men all dressed in brown. Well, if our eye is not single on the Christ of the Bible, we will be leavened. The brown clothes represent the Nazi faction in church and state. Amen. And in some sort of wood earth building, representing those who are earthly and not spiritual and heavenly. The first guy was short with red hair. Well, this represents the factious like Esau, meaning red, right? He looked like a leprechaun. That represents that they're stunted in spiritual growth. They can't grow up. He was mimicking a parrot. In other words, mockers. The second guy was mimicking a cat. That represents rebellion and self-will. I immediately saw that they were both possessed by these particular animal demons. And I told my siblings that I saw how the men's eyes reflected these demons. Well, the apostates are coming into the image of those they see and admire and sometimes fear. The righteous see Jesus in the mirror and won't settle for a cheap fake or antichrist, right? My mom wanted to watch it for herself, so she grabbed her iPad and started to log in. And on the iPad screen was a black-haired, meaning submitting to darkness, 1 Corinthians 11, your hair is a sign of submission, right? A black-haired, sharp-faced young man who was instructing her on how to log in. She first had to press her face into the screen and then the side of her face. Well, the apostates are exchange their own image for these type people instead of Christ. And as she did this, I noticed that the camera was getting a good view of her surroundings. Well, we know that the beast is always looking for ways to identify us for legal action later. They want to entrap the Christians, their mortal enemies. The next image on the screen was the man's waist and lower body. He was wearing a dark shirt and white belt. And I wondered if my mom would press the iPad into her waist too. In the dream, my mom had colored her hair a dark reddish brown. Okay. It was straight and neatly cut to her shoulders. Well, this represents coming into the image of the enemy, a falling away. Again, the reddish hair, right? The Esau. She was also wearing jewelry. And I was trying to figure out if she had her ears pierced without being too obvious. Well, the outward adorning, rather than inward adorning, of the meek and quiet spirit is what the fake religious Christians do. So in the next scene, it was nighttime, and my husband and I were in a white room, laying on a white bed, still at mom's house. Again, mom is the church that we were born out of, right? The iPad was laying between us where my mom had left it. I couldn't stop thinking about the black-haired man on the screen. He was evil, and I realized that he was a giant. So, the old man of the land who looked too big to conquer to most, especially for those who come out of those dark religions and don't trust in God. They see this old man as somebody that they just have to put up with, just have to be forgiven, not sanctified, right? So in the dream, I became aware that the giants actually existed. Nephilim is the word that came to me in the dream. and that the deep state was releasing them into the world. This represents those who are big of flesh and enemies of the spiritual man. You understand, it doesn't matter how big a man is in the world and how popular he is to the world, he is, if he does not know God, if he is not living the crucified life, he is the enemy of the spiritual man. And as I laid in the bed, it was snowing outside, and I knew that the giants were coming. Winter is tribulation when the enemy tests the saints, you see. I heard the door, and I knew my mom was going to let the black-haired man come inside. Well, we become like those that we admire, right? I got out of bed and peeked through the window blinds. The snow was falling steadily, but it wasn't too deep to drive yet. I don't like driving in the snow, as it can be dangerous, but I knew we had to get out of my mother's house, and that I would rather have Theo driving us home in the slippery snow than to stay at my mom's house any longer. Yes, 'cause she had let this man into her house, and she wouldn't be anything but dangerous to a spiritual life, right? So this is very true. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Get out of mom's house. That's what Lana was showing here. I turned to wake him up and found that he had never fallen asleep and was ready to go. Yes. We loaded our sleeping boys, Theo and Max, into our old red Nissan Altima and left. So she is leaving the old order of Mother's House, the apostate church, by way of the Nissan Altima. The name Nissan is a boy's name of Hebrew origin, meaning miracle. And Altima is derived from the Latin altus, suggesting a higher order, as does its similarity to the word ultimate, right? Higher order. So those who depart from Mother's House are a higher order. And this higher order is the supernatural kingdom of God. They think that they walk in God. They think that they are the church, and they are not, because the church is the called out ones. Now you see who's coming out. Okay. I could see the black asphalt before our car as we drove. There was a cleared pathway free of snow as far as I could see, and I knew we would have a safe drive home. Well, safety and prosperity is with us when we turn away from the sinful ways of the apostate church and escape the winter tribulation represented by the snow. I received Psalm 50, 14 through 15 by faith at random for this dream. Offer unto God the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Well, we thank you, Lord, for saving us out of the apostate church and its ways. And Lord, we know this is a progressive thing, but just keep guiding us down the path. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Tiana Fire, 8-12-22, received this that we called, Some Apostate Christians Repent and Escape. I dreamed that David Eales and I, representing the man-child and the bride, were traveling somewhere, and we got offered a lift with this random man and woman. David and I were sitting in the back seat, and the woman was sitting in the driver's seat. And we think this is representing the beginning of our walk under the apostate church and its leadership, with Jezebel driving. They looked young, and they said that they had been together since a young age, and they ran away from their homes very young and got involved in all sorts of criminal activity. Well, this is representing the rebellious apostate church, where everyone stays young in the Lord, but as far as the scripture is concerned, it's all criminal activity. And it's in rebellion against God. They had locked the door so we couldn't get out, and the woman said that they were kidnapping us. Well, they always try to make you feel that you can't go anywhere else because they are the ones with all of the answers. But it's strange when they get around somebody with answers, their mouth hangs open. We weren't sure what they had planned to do with us, but we weren't worried at all. We felt calm, peaceful, loving, joyful, and we didn't think of them in a negative way. David was casually talking about Father and Jesus to them like he normally talks about God. Well, that represents being weak to the weak. We have to remember they are young in the Lord, right? And so we have to get down on their level to speak to them. Amen? This kept making the woman angry, but we could see that the man's conscience was getting to him, and he wanted to hear more. We could see and feel in spirit that the man could see what David was speaking is truth, and he was getting convicted for all the wrong that he had done in his life. Let me say, some of the leadership will get tired of Jezebel and turn to the Lord. Jezebel is all in the apostate church. Not only in many cases are the women ruling, contrary to the commands of the Bible, but the spirit is there. And a spirit can be in a man even. It's somebody who should be receiving seed, but they're sowing seed, right? So we all stopped at a gas station to fill up. David and I were locked in so we couldn't get out. Not that we wanted to leave anyway. This reminds me of Acts 16, where Paul and Silas were praising God for being imprisoned. And the woman got out and filled up the tank and went inside to pay for it. And while she was gone, the man called the police and confessed what he had done and told them of our location. And the police quickly showed up and arrested the man and woman, and David and I were set free. Well, we got the word in, right? The man was at peace even though he was being arrested. I felt that the man had real repentance and that he agreed with the word and his conscience and would truly turn away from his evil and follow Jesus, even though he would be going to jail. Well, once we recognize the truth, we realize that we're in bondage. But our faith in Jesus is going to bring us out and cause us to be victorious. Amen? Well, these are revelations that kind of point us to the strong delusion that's in the apostate church, and that if people don't come out from among them, they will end up destroyed, because it is not Christianity. It is a fake Christianity. God wants to deliver us from all such things. Even after we physically come out, we still have to spiritually come out. Right? Amen. Well, Father, we ask in Jesus' name that everyone who is listening today or whenever, that you will grant repentance and that they will seek your word, the only thing that can bring us into the image of Jesus Christ is the word of God, and the churches have departed from the word of God, just as the Old Testament church did. The things that have been are the things that shall be. So come out from among them, saints, and be ye separate. In Jesus' name, amen.